went out Friday night with the sheriff's department, riding along with a full-time deputy, and we went out and I thought, it's hot, it's Friday night, we'll have, you know, big-time stuff going on. Ended up, we spent most of the night out doing, checking people for speeding. We were down on like 37 and 22 in that area. The majority of people, we didn't stop anybody who was not doing at least 12 or 13 over. The majority of people that we stopped, you know, I'm getting out, I'm on the passenger side, I'm coming up the other side thinking, okay, this could be a drug dealer and whatnot, and my flashlight, and it's old people. The majority of them were senior citizens. I come up there and there's grandma. It's like, oh, okay. The old people are driving too fast. Need to slow down a little bit. We gave out a lot of warnings. I think we only gave out one ticket because, you know, how do you pull over grandma and write her a ticket? Michigan this month raised its speed limits on a lot of its roads. On the state highways, the two lanes, you know, one going each way, if they're rural, Michigan raised its speed limits from 55 to 60 on those. And on the interstate, everywhere where it's not near a city, they raised it from 70 to 75, which I actually don't mind that because, like, especially when you get into the north part of Michigan, there's a long ways between cities, and it just helps you traverse that a little bit quicker and get through it. Now, there are two reasons that this stuck in my craw just a little bit, and they're kind of trivial reasons, but I wanted to share them with you. See, I-75, which goes up the full length of Michigan, right by where I used to live, has now been raised the speed limit to 75 miles an hour. Well, when I was in high school, it was 55 miles an hour, and I got pulled over in my beat-up 1974 Camaro doing 75 miles an hour and got a nice hefty ticket for it. And they're saying, oh, that's way too fast to be driving safe on these roads. Well, now they let little old ladies in Ford Focuses drive 75 miles an hour in that area. The other reason that it stuck in my craw just a little bit is that we're pulling a big camper. So we really couldn't go much more than about 60. So we're in the slow lane on this interstate where the speed limit's 75, and we're creeping along at 60 miles an hour with little old ladies in Ford Focuses flying past us at 75 miles an hour, giving us dirty looks because we're going too slow. So those things kind of got to me. Well, we were on the expressway. I can't remember which one it was. I think it was 69, just a little bit before we got back to Indiana. My wife and I both saw this billboard. Now, neither one of us mentioned it to the other at the second that we saw it, but it stuck out to both of us because there was something on it that just caught our attention. And we both mentioned it, I don't know, 15, 20 seconds later, where Kathy was like, did you see that? And I was like, yeah, I did. Can you go ahead and put that slide up, the first slide of the billboard? I want to go over this with you. It's a billboard. He'll have it up there. Can you read that? Yeah. Real Christians, I got to find it where I am here. Oh, yeah. Real Christians obey, with obey underlined, Jesus' teachings. And note how the word real is kind of handwritten in on the side like it's an afterthought or something. We had both noticed this sign and it stuck out to us. Now, with every statement of fact, which is what this is claiming to be, is an implied counterpoint. This is stating that if you're a real Christian, then you obey Jesus' teachings. Okay, well enough. But what is the counter statement? It's saying if you're a real Christian, you obey Jesus' teachings. So what is that saying in 180 degrees turned around? The implication is that those who do not obey Jesus' teachings are not Christians. And then when you add in the cute little afterthought of real, then it's implying that they are at least not real Christians. Now, this wonderful piece of drive-by theology does include a scripture reference to back it up. It quotes Luke 6:46. So let's read what that says together. It says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say?" Now, I will admit right up front that this whole thing just didn't seem to sit well with Kathy or myself. And anybody who knows us knows that we're pretty conservative Christians. We take the Bible as the Word of God, and I have taught sermons which could possibly be boiled down to what was on this billboard. So why didn't we like it? Is there something wrong with the billboard? Is it accurate? Is the scripture taken out of context? Is it done properly? Let's take a look at those questions in that order. Is there something wrong with the billboard? Well, I'm going to cheat a little bit on my answer because, well, I need to. Everything on the billboard seems to be spelled correctly. The color scheme seemed to be eye-catching. I mean, both Kathy and I noticed it, and there was probably 10 other billboards in that quarter mile, and I can't tell you what any of them said, and I doubt that she could either. So as far as advertising goes, it was eye-catching and it got our attention. So as far as billboards go, I don't think that there was anything wrong with it. But on the other hand, I do think that there was something wrong with it. Is it accurate? Well, I will begrudgingly admit that I think that the basic core theology of the billboard was accurate. There are at least a dozen other scriptures that could support what it said. Here are just a handful of them. Follow along with me as I read through them. James 1, verse 22 says, "To yourselves, do what it says." James 2, 14 through 17 says, "What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith, but does not, can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says, 'Go in peace, be warm and filled,' without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead." John 15, verses 5 through 8. "I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples." And 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, "But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will also be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Master who brought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their sensuality, and because of them, the way of the truth will be blasphemed. And in their greed, they will exploit you with false words. Their condemnation from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep." So the argument could easily be made that this billboard was technically sound in what it says. Although I think that a person could argue quite well that it ignores a simple concept. And that concept is grace. It ignores the fact that each and every one of us fails to do just that, obeying Jesus' teachings. We all do it. We all fail to obey Jesus' teachings. But does that make us fake Christians? It doesn't even make us bad people. It makes us imperfect. And if we're Christians, it makes us forgiven. Romans chapter 3, verses 21 through 26 says, "But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by His blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in His divine forbearance He had passed over former sins. It was to show His righteousness at the present time, so that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus." On the point, on the question of whether or not it's taken out of context, I would say that the immediate verses around it have this exact thought, that that verse that it quotes does have the thought that Christians obey Jesus' teachings. But just a few verses earlier, Jesus said in Luke chapter 6, verses 41 through 42, "Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, 'Brother, let me take that speck that is in, take out that speck that's in your eye,' when you yourself do not see the log that is in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck that is in your brother's eye." When pushing such a bold statement on what is and what is not a real Christian, perhaps, just perhaps, it would be advisable for them, whoever it is that made this billboard, to remember this command of Jesus as well, that we should take the speck or the log out of our own eye before looking at the speck in our brother's. And while I'm mentioning it, I should do the same when I'm talking about them. Failing to obey Jesus' commands doesn't automatically make someone a fake Christian or a non-Christian. If that were so, there would be no real Christians. Failing is what people do because people are failed. People have fallen. Failing is called sin. And sin is unfortunate and sin is terrible. But thank the God, the Lord above, that we don't get into heaven through our own perfection. We get in through forgiveness. The forgiveness that's available through Jesus Christ's work on the cross, and that alone should be enough for us to not want to necessarily put up signs like this. But they would probably say that this is not what they're trying to communicate with the sign. I would imagine, and I'm trying to be genuine in what their motives were probably, that their motives were sincere in this. I would imagine that they would say they are speaking not against those who try and fail, but those who blatantly ignore the Word of God. Okay, I can believe that. I can believe that that was their target audience. But this is just one reason why I don't really care for drive-by theology. I might understand that their target audience is not people who try and fail and try again, you might understand that their target audience is not the people who try and fail and try again. And even those on the complete liberal side of Christianity who ignore Jesus' teachings, they might understand that it's kind of pointing at them. But the big question is, do the tens of thousands of people who do not know Jesus Christ understand what that sign is trying to say? Or does it look to them like Christians are a bunch of mean-spirited finger pointers? Because that's who it's important, in my opinion, that understands. Which leads to the final question that I had. Is it done properly? Let us assume that the people who made the billboard did not mean to harm passers-by who misunderstood the message. They say that, well, there's only so much you can put on a billboard. You can't put the whole Bible on a billboard when people are passing by it at 75 miles an hour, or 60, as the case may be. That's true, which is one of the main reasons I don't really care for drive-by theology. You can wind up looking like something you really aren't meaning to be at heart. I'm willing to give the benefit of the doubt to the authors and not think that they're mean-spirited and judgmental. I'm willing to bet that their goal is to save souls, and that people going to hell makes them sick in their stomach and keeps them up at night. But is that the way that is the way that they're going about it going to seem that way to the vast majority of people who read their sign? I'm willing to bet that a guy who walks around in his town with sandwich boards that say repent or burn is motivated by the same thing. That he doesn't want people to go to hell. He wants to get the message to as many people as possible. But I don't know about you, but when I see somebody walking around in downtown in a city with a sandwich board that says repent or burn, I think they're a nutcase, more than likely. Or if I can't read it, I think maybe they're protesting something, or maybe both. Because when I see that, it doesn't come across to me, and therefore I'm thinking that the majority of people who don't understand their heart and don't understand Scripture probably also don't get the right message. Now, I can see somebody thinking, I need to get the word out. And I need to get it to as many people as I possibly can. And they take seriously the warning in Ezekiel. You know, it's interesting. In Kevin Trimble's Sunday school class, he went through Ezekiel. And then Mark brought up Ezekiel. And I've got Ezekiel in my message. So I don't know if we were just all being moved the same way or what that was, but turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 33. Ezekiel 33, verses 1 through 9. The word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, speak to your people and say to them, if I bring the sword upon a land, and the people of that land take a man from among them and make him their watchman, and if he sees the sword coming upon the land and blows the trumpet and warns the people, then if anyone who hears the sound of the trumpet does not take warning, and the sword comes and takes him away, his blood shall be on his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet and did not take warning. His blood shall be upon himself. But if he had taken warning, he would have saved his life. But if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet, so that the people are not warned, and the sword comes and takes away one of them, that person is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at the watchman's hand. So you, son of man, I have made a watchman for the house of Israel. Whether you Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, you shall give them warning from me. If I say to the wicked, O wicked one, you shall surely die, and you do not speak to warn the wicked to turn away from his way, that wicked person shall die in his iniquity. But his blood I will require at your hand. But if you warn the wicked to turn away, and he does not turn from his way, that person shall die in his iniquity, but you will have delivered your soul. That right there is heavy stuff, ladies and gents. God put on Ezekiel, and he has put on us as Christians, the responsibility of warning people that judgment will one day come. And if we don't warn people, God says that he'll hold us accountable for not doing that. And my assumption is that the people who put up this billboard take this very seriously, and they think, how can I warn people? And so they do something like this. But here's my question. They might be saying, okay, I could go out and talk to people, or I as a preacher could preach a sermon, or we could have interaction with a friend. And me, myself, if I do that all of my life, will I get that message to as many people as drive by that billboard in one day? Probably not. Because I'm that's one of the busiest highways in the state. I'm willing to bet there's 10,000 people a day drive by that billboard. But let me ask you this. If I talk to the people I know, and you all talk to the people of that you know, could we, through our lifetimes, affect more people than drive by that billboard in a day? And could we do it in a way that doesn't say, pointing my finger at you? I think that we could. If someone needs, feels the need, the compulsion to put up a billboard, and this is my opinion, this is the part of the sermon where you can take it and take it or leave it if you want, because this is my opinion. But if you feel compelled to do something like a billboard, may I have another suggestion than saying real Christians obey the Word of God? Can you put up the next slide? Perhaps just put up a quote of Jesus. And may I suggest this one? If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Jesus. That part's my opinion. But here's my recommendation. Do it the old-fashioned way, by personally talking to people one-on-one. I can't talk to as many people as will see that billboard. You can't by yourself. But if everyone who calls Christ their master were to talk to everybody that they could, I guarantee you, we'd beat that billboard, and we'd do it in a much better way. Now, someone might say, you know, I have a lot of trouble talking to somebody that way. I have a lot of trouble just going through all that stuff with somebody. It's just, it's not my thing to be in somebody's face. And I don't want you, that was poor wording. I don't want you to be in somebody's face. But some people have trouble even just talking about these things with people. Open up your bulletins if you would. If you didn't dump them out, inside of that should be a card. It's a little card. Our church has a website. This is an additional website that just gently leads someone in with a few statements and then guides them to our church's website. And on our church's website, we have a lot of things, a little more in-depth theology and whatnot. You can take that card, and if somebody's talking with you, you could hand that to them and say, you know, this would tell you some stuff that I can't remember right now, but if you go here, that will help you. Or if you really aren't into, you know, doing something like that, giving it to somebody, keep that card with you, and like, you know, the next time that you're in Walmart or wherever, you go into the restroom and you're sitting there and you're washing your hands, you could just nonchalantly leave that sitting on the bench, on the sink. It's just a tool that you could use to help you do what I think we should do. Do we need to take Ezekiel seriously and share the word of God with people? Absolutely we do. Should we be doing it in drive-by theology where we seem to be pointing a finger at somebody and say, you better straighten up or you're not a real Christian? I just don't think that that's the best way to go about doing it. But Jesus Christ, as we read out of Romans, has forgiven, made the way for our sins to be forgiven. And everybody needs to know that. You don't get to heaven by obeying rules. You get to heaven by submitting to Jesus Christ and trying your best to do what He says. And you fall on your face and you get back up. And you fall on your face and you get back up. And He has promised us that as long as we give ourselves to Him and keep trying, that we are real Christians and we are within Him and He within us. Please stand as we sing.